I want to focus on one verse from Ecclesiastes 10, verse 2. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Well, wisdom, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 7:23, was far from me. He says, I knew all the stuff, but it was far from me. It was far from my heart. And I think Ecclesiastes is his sort of autobiography, looking back at why he's gone wrong. We know from the historical record that his heart was turned away from God by his wives and was turned unto idols. He did not become an atheist. He never actually said Yahweh doesn't exist, but he turned away from him. And he, as I suppose people like that do, he's got this ability to analyze why he's gone wrong, but he doesn't do anything about it. And that is so tragic. And why do we have this unique book, Ecclesiastes? I think it is obviously as a warning to us. It is a dissection, if you like, of a man gone wrong. So what is this saying? I think it's saying that the way of true wisdom is that you have your heart or your mind, which is what the Hebrew idea of heart is really about. You have your mind in your right hand, under your control. It's talking about the need for personal, if you like, psychological self-discipline, spiritual mindedness, consciously controlling your thought processes. Now, you do find in the scriptures the idea of having two sides to character, two sides to psychology. And I think this verse is sort of alluded to by the Lord in Matthew 6:3 when he says, when you're generous, let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing. I think he's saying that that better side of you that wants to be generous, don't let your left hand, don't let your left heart, as it were, your left mind, know what you're doing. Because sooner or later, it's going to say, ah, but could you really afford that? Do you think that this person is really genuine? Aren't there other sources of help for this person? Does it have to be you? You know, that's the sort of reasoning of the flesh. And there's at least two scriptures where I think this comes out very clearly. One is in Paul's self-analysis in Romans 7, where he really speaks of himself as two different people. And yet he can say that with his heart, with his spirit, with his soul, however you wish to put it, with his mind, he serves God. And yet he still has the flesh, which in Romans seems to mean the mind of the flesh. And he laments that. And he sees no way to escape the human condition in this life until Jesus comes back and we are changed. And I think you see it very clearly in, again, that unique window you have into the mind of the Lord Jesus in the record of his wilderness temptations, where it really does seem, does it not, that there are two people involved, that Jesus is there in the desert, and a person called the devil comes to him and tests him and says, why don't you this? Why don't you take this scripture and reapply it and misinterpret it? Why don't you just get out of this situation by doing a quick zappy miracle or just get yourself some food and so forth? And of course, that has led to a lot of misinterpretation, but I really do favour in the end the idea that possibly there could have been someone with him there, but I think in the end the point is that it's a window into the mind of Jesus, that he was tempted exactly as we are, and we're not tempted by a dragon with horns or whatever that fell off the 99th floor in the Garden of Eden. We know how we're tempted. We're tempted by your left brain. You're tempted by your left heart, your left mind, that is this little sort of Pinocchio kind of voice that keeps saying, why not this? Why not that? Why don't you do that? And there you see in the mind of Jesus a very clear distinction made by him between those two minds. It's so clear in the mind of Jesus, in the psychology of Jesus, shall we say, that there is a direct difference between them, as if they're two different people. And you see it again in Paul, who was another spiritually mature person, that he talks of himself as if he is two people. So this helps, I think, we want to be spiritually minded. And I think the more mature you are spiritually, the more you see this, that there are two voices within. And the voice of the Spirit of God gets stronger, hopefully, as you mature. And you start to see that, yeah, there is this other principle, mind, voice within me. But that's at my left hand. And most people are right-handed. So I think the idea is that the way of wisdom is to have the mind under control in your right hand. And this really is the key, I think, to spiritual mindedness, which, let's face it, is the essence of Christianity. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. This is the essence. Unless we have that, then we have missed the whole point. The whole point is not to tick theological boxes and get saved on the basis of our pure theological understanding. There is absolutely no indication that the Day of Judgment is going to be a theological exam and the Trinitarians get a fail and the non-Trinitarians get saved because they got it right. No, that is not the impression at all that you get. And the whole language of salvation in the New Testament is always the language of the Spirit. It is who has got the Spirit of Christ. This is the essence. And I don't doubt that true theology, not least understanding the role of the devil, that the real devil is your own inner voice. And it's not that you are basically a jolly good bloke, but the problem is you get zapped by the devil now and again. And you get the speeding demon or the shopping demon or whatever people talk about, and that makes you act in a way that is not you at all, and you're not responsible for that. No, this is where true theology, as I say, can be of great assistance. But the essential battle is between that left mind and the right mind, which should be under our control. And this points up the critical importance of receiving the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about doing miracles and all that stuff, which is all over and done, but I'm talking about having the mind of Christ, which is a gift, which God and the Lord Jesus are eager and willing to give us, and we should accept it with both hands.